From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the May 6th edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will be along to discuss the agricultural cash grain markets. At the end of our program today, we'll talk about the weather forecast with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy. They're on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois, looking down on the loop. And along the way, we'll take up the Farm Bill. We'll take up the Farm Bill, maybe like the Senate and the House will, over the next 2 weeks. And it all happens during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
In Chicago for a Monday afternoon, futures were lower than nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.93, finished 18 and a quarter lower on the day. July at 7.02 and three quarters, down 18 and a quarter as well. And September at 7.12 and a half, down 18 cents. The hard red in Kansas City at 7.56 and three quarters, settlement price there, down 21 and a quarter. From the corn pit back in Chicago, May futures $6.78 and three quarters, down 20 and three quarters. July at 6.36 and a half, 24 and three quarters lower. In September, $5.59 and three quarters, down 19 and a half cents. December at 5.38 and a quarter, down 15 and a quarter. In the March, $5.48 and three quarters, down 14 and three quarters. May contract in the corn pit for next year, $5.56 and a half a bushel, down 14 and three quarters. May soybeans were 10 and a half cents lower today. The lead option settled at $14.44 and a half cents in the bean pit. July futures, $13.69 and a quarter, down 18 cents. The August at $13.17, down 18 and a quarter. And September soybeans, $12.49 and three quarters, down 16 cents. November beans, $12.07 and a quarter, down 14 for the day. And January of next year at $12.14 and three quarters, down 14 cents as well. Bean meal futures at $4.13 and 10. That's $413.10, down 4.70. And bean oil at $48.69 on its lead option, down 47 cents. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $121.40, down 57 and a half. The August feeders at $147.45 were a nickel lower on the afternoon. And June lean hogs per 100 pounds, $91.32.5, finished 85 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures June contract, $95.84 a barrel, up 23 cents. The RBOB gasoline at 286 and 3 tenths, that's 3 and 7 tenths higher for the day. Ethanol is not available on the board this afternoon for the markets. Must be a little glitch there. Natural gas at $4.02 and 4 tenths of a cent, that's down a penny and 7 tenths. And heating oil, or diesel fuel, at $2.92, 3 5/10 of a cent higher for the day. Gold futures in the June contract at $1,468 and $3.80 higher, and the U.S. dollar at 82.31. That's down 0.1, or rather up 0.18 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area is improving, and that has had a great impact on what's happening in the marketplace over the day here. Is we looked at the CME group in Chicago and what kinds of things that they were trading for the afternoon. Let's take a look at what the National Weather Service says for yet today in Urbana-Champaign this afternoon. For a Monday, the nearby forecast says that we should see, well, this afternoon, about a 69 degree top for the afternoon. We'll have a 20% chance of showers tonight. Apache fog, that after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, a low 52. Tuesday, some isolated showers after 1 p.m., partly sunny. Chance of precip in the area, just 20% again. Partly cloudy and low of 54 on Tuesday night. Wednesday, mostly sunny skies and 78. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 57. Thursday, chance of showers is back, but mostly for the day, partly sunny and a high of 76 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a low of 58. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
On this Monday afternoon, it's time now to check the agricultural futures markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, the forecast still has rainfall in it, but not as much. And I guess it looks like to traders that it's going to be better than expected. And they pushed the market lower on that. Any other reasons?
Well, mainly the forecast is number one priority. It's the headline newsmaker. A lot of people watch the weather and looking for some type of news to go off of. And even though it might not be ideal for everyone, but for the most part, there's been some progress made. This afternoon's planned progress, expecting anywhere from 15% to 20% complete as a nation. I question whether we'd be anywhere near 20%, but there's some areas where guys are half done, and some areas, well, just a very, very few areas where, you know, they're a little bit more aggressive than that. But for the most part, if the forecast does cooperate, the trade's looking at the overall country having a pretty good planting event here as we move into mid-May, with the forecast showing below normal precip once we get past this next rain event.
What are the folks that you're talking to about the weather saying, other than this below normal precip on this weather event coming up, and below normal being less, I suppose, than what was predicted to begin with?
Well, somebody wished a little too hard for the rain to stop, and it looks like it's going to stop, for a while. Once we get, there's going to be some chances as we move along, but for the most part, it's a drier pattern. We've been in a wet pattern, and the idea is that we are going to switch to a six-week drier pattern, which would get us in the time window in here needed to get some field work accomplished. But weather is going to be the main theme, the main headline. We'll see how the overnight maps come in and see where we are tomorrow, see if we have confirmation of this pattern shift. But, with the title crop supplies we had on hand and the urgency to get the crop in the ground, we're taking a little bit of weather premium out of the marketplace. I don't foresee just sharply lower from here until we get more into the next week in here and see where we are, because it's still critical to make sure this crop gets off to a timely start and has favorable growing conditions throughout the entire part of the growing season.
I suspect the producers that you talk to vary widely on how quickly they think they can get into the field to actually plant, with some already in the field. What about the rest of them?
Well, it's going to be slow going. For those who are in a situation where their farm doesn't dry out that quick and been, hit with some rain, it's just going to take some time. We'll see how things unfold in here. As the temperature warms up in here, and things can turn in a hurry. I've not heard of anybody on a wide scale switching from corn to beans. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is the guys in the Dakotas was looking at some snow cover here just a little while ago, but that snow cover's gone, and they're a little bit more optimistic they might be able to farm this year. So it's sort of a day to day. In fact, it's more 6 hours to 6 hours, because the weather maps do come out quite often. Depends which model you look at. They don't always agree. And then there's a lot of wise tail type of forecast, too, on the color of the caterpillars and whether there's water vapor off these jets flying in the air also. So we'll see how this thing unwinds here as we get going here into mid-May. But right now the trade's expecting 35% to 40% of the corn crop being in the ground by the middle part of next week.
USDA on Mondays always releases the inspections. That's a report that we always look forward to. What did it show this morning, and did it say anything different about the marketplace than what we've known so far as it relates to exports?
Well, exports continue to struggle. That's the worst part about the high prices in through here. High prices cure high prices, low prices cure low prices. And the fear is we've lost, some demand, but the biggest fear is we're losing market share. And that's been quite evident over the years. The market really actually needs to go lower here to stimulate demand and to stimulate some world demand, particularly for corn. You know, we've been on this big ethanol binge, and that's helped a ton. But the export market sort of is the cream of the crop here, and we just need to make sure we regain some interest here and get this demand back on track, because there's nothing worse than having a big crop and this demand not bouncing back as well as we want it to.
And speaking of demand, let's switch from new crop to old crop and discuss just a bit the demand situation domestically. Cargill announcing, I think, in Indiana that it's going to close down a soybean processing plant. Ethanol plants have been shuttering their doors for a while, some of them at least, some of them because it's scheduled, but others really saying we just can't get enough corn. That has an effect on demand and really an effect on the bottom line once we get to the end of the year, increasing the amount of corn, maybe even soybeans, I suppose, that might be left over from the last marketing year.
It's tight. It's tough. And for those who have survived in the agricultural complex here over modern-day times, is had a sharp pencil, and you know, they're just not going to go broke if they can help it. They're going to do things to stay in business. They want to stay in business. They want to make money just like everybody else does. And if it involves, you know, going as far as trying other sources of getting the job done, they'll do it. The main thing is, you know, if they're going to take some downtime, they'll take some downtime. And, you know, we've seen a lot of consolidation, and we've been in a situation where some people have not made it through it. And so hopefully they'll do what's right here, and they'll be around to buy new crop and keep this demand base growing here as we move on down the wrong road long term. But nobody has to go broke and has to buy. They're going to do what they need to do to survive, and they're doing that.
I suppose it's important maybe to talk about the December contract or the nearby May contract, which gapped lower today on the daily charts, too, in the corn pit.
Well, the May's in deliveries is going to be going off the board shortly here, but yeah, it's a...
July did as well.
It gapped lower, yes. It had a low trade on Friday there of 57.75, and the overnight high was 52. Ideas are if we can build a little bit of base here, we can maybe go back and attempt to fill that gap on the old crop. The main thing is this new crop, December, you know, a lot of guys aren't really priced up to where they want to be on the new crop, so moves back in to fill that gap back to this 550, 552 area is going to become resistance here on a little dead cat bounces.
Yeah, because there was a gap there as well, as you discussed on that December contract. What does it mean, anything, if anything, for livestock producers? Should they be thinking about putting some bids in to purchase old crop, if not new crop corn, or do you think things will serve them better later on, too?
That's a very good analysis there on what producers should do from the livestock sector from the point old crop continues to remain tight, and that's going to be the tough one for them as we move on into the summer, and the new crop won't get here as soon as they want it to be. They're going to have to use price breaks in here to actually secure the actual physical cash to keep them in business here. That's going to be the challenge they're going to be faced with, and we would recommend trying to secure those supplies, because it's just going to be awful tough to shake those supplies loose.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good, Todd.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. We post it not long after it airs on our website. You can use your smartphone to get to that same website at willag.org. We have the other mobile website there, too. You can get to it at m.willag.org. They look a little different on your smartphones. so you can try them both, willag.org or m.willag.org. Don't have access to a smartphone or the internet, just use your regular old telephone and dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update that one at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with some numbers and a bit of analysis.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
In Washington, D.C., where the Senate Ag Committee is expected to mark up its farm bill this week, timing will be crucial. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow is hoping to repeat last year's swift handling of her panel's farm bill. That, according to American Farm Bureau Director Dale Moore.
Based on the latest conversations that we and other folks around town have had with Chairwoman Stabenow's staff and others, including Senator Cochran's staff, it appears that she is shooting for markup on Thursday, May 9th.
Moore agrees with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's plans to bring up immigration reform in June. The Senate farm bill must move this month.
Our hope is that by Memorial Day, at least, we've got the Senate farm bill completed. We also understand that the House Ag Committee is marking up May 15, and, the hope is that the Senate moving pretty efficiently, the House can move equally efficiently and get this farm bill done sooner this year rather than later.
Moore was expecting initial details of Stabenow's proposed draft farm bill to start filtering out over the weekend and early Monday. He expects the biggest fights in Senate Ag to be over commodity and nutrition programs. Available commodity funding is a quarter to about a third of what's been there in years past.
There seems to be a pot of money somewhere in the $32 to $33 billion range over the course of the 10 years. That's pretty hard to divide up among, a target price approach, some type of revenue approach, throw in the dairy title, throw in some crop insurance options and some adjustments that need to be made. To help cotton out. They're going to have some tough decisions to make just on how they divide that money up.
And the wild card remains food stamp cuts, blamed for last year's pre-election House GOP sidelining of the farm bill. Moore says Senate Ag must also consider the tipping point where too big a cut will cost the votes needed to pass a bill on the floor. Crop insurance will also come under attack on the Senate floor, especially after a $17 billion payout for last year's historic drought. Those payouts, of course, coming courtesy of the United States Department of Agriculture. Speaking of which, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says USDA has been working hard on its mission-critical priorities, even as it implements mandatory across-the-board budget cuts. Vilsack says the good news is that these proactive efforts to cut costs have saved more than $828 million in recent years, putting USDA in a better position to deliver important programs. But he says USDA has not lost sight of a key requirement for these programs to continue, the passage of a comprehensive multi-year food, farm, and jobs bill.
USDA intends to provide whatever technical assistance we can to help Congress pass a long-term comprehensive bill. A food, farm, and jobs bill would allow USDA to continue our record accomplishments on behalf of the American people while providing new income opportunities across rural America. It would enable USDA to further expand markets for agricultural products at home and abroad, strengthen conservation efforts, create new opportunities for local and regional food systems, and grow the bio-based economy. It would maintain important agricultural research and ensure access to safe and nutritious food for all Americans. A comprehensive bill would also continue programs that directly help rural communities, such as the 110 grants USDA awarded this week to help rural small businesses manufacture new products, expand local food systems, and create jobs. We haven't lost sight of the importance of a comprehensive food, farm, and jobs bill, and I know folks across rural America are counting on Congress to get the job done as soon as possible. We stand ready to help in any way we can.
That's U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack talking about the budget and the farm bill. Of course, that farm bill will be marked up this week, or may be marked up this week in Washington, D.C. Let's take a look now at three options the legislators will debate. The U.S. House of Representatives and the United States Senate have some reconciliation to do on the next version of the Farm Bill. Each body has a favored plan. The negotiations as to how those will be combined will be interesting and directly affect the nation's farmers. There are three basic farm programs in place, says University of Illinois farm management specialist Gary Schnittke. He and the Ohio State University's Carl Zuloff studied them and their potential impacts. The first is a revenue program. Here's Schnittke's very simplified explanation.
The revenue program bases payments usually on a county basis, but also on a farm in the Senate bill. Bases payments when farm revenue or county revenue falls below a guarantee that's based on 5 years of previous prices and yields.
The second program, like the first, is one farmers will be familiar with from previous farm bills.
Target price program is a rather simple one. If market year average prices fall below a target price, this will make payments. The big thing about the target price program is setting the target prices. And so far, last year, the House bill set target prices much higher relative to expected prices for rice and peanuts, and lower for corn and soybeans. So you can use those target prices to shift payments between crops.
Well, the third option is something referred to as supplemental coverage. It's an insurance plan farmers have not seen before.
And this is relatively new this year, or this is the first time we've seen this as proposal. Target prices we've had around revenue program. ACRE is a revenue program. Supplemental coverage, insurance coverages, and the specific one is SCO, would add a layer of coverage on top of your farm level program. So if most farmers in this state take RP, if they took RP at 80%, they could buy a supplemental policy that would work from 90% down to their farm level coverage, 80%. It would be based on county yields or revenue, but it would enhance the coverage offered by that farm level policy.
So those are the three options, but mostly Gary Schnittke and Carl Zuloff believe the Washington debate, in this case markup, will center on the first two.
The negotiations are going to primarily focus on the revenue program and the target price program. The revenue program tends to be favored by Midwest groups, corn and soybeans, and the target price program tends to be favored by Southern groups, in particular rice and peanuts. And that's where the negotiations between what those two programs look like will be a large part of the debate between both the House and the Senate.
There's one other note from Schnittke and Zuloff. Inclusion of a supplemental insurance program has a cost, which in turn will affect the design of revenue and target price programs. Inclusion of supplemental insurance likely will lower coverage levels in a revenue program and lower target prices in the target price program. Hence, the two believe inclusion of the supplemental insurance program as currently designed will enhance within-year protection, but could reduce across-year protection. Here's what that means. Farm bills have mostly been designed to smooth farm income from 1 year to the next. The supplemental insurance program would put some rough edges back in the system. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647. Or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. The folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago are not available this afternoon, so we kind of pushed back the cash grain market. We'll talk with the folks at the Andersons here when we return in just a couple of minutes.
It's National Crepe Suzette Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1833, Illinois blacksmith John Deere developed the first cast steel plow. Deere's plow was made of wrought iron and had a steel share that could cut through sticky soil without clogging. Deere's first steel plow sale was to a local farmer named Lewis Crandall. It wasn't long, though, before the plow was in huge demand. By 1855, John Deere's factory was selling over 10,000 steel plows a year. The steel plow made Deer a millionaire. In 1851, John Glory patented an ice-making machine, the first U.S. patent for a mechanical refrigerator. Although the mechanism produced ice in quantities, leakage and irregular performance sometimes impaired its operation. Glory is considered by many the father of refrigeration and air conditioning. And in 1898, Daniel Gerber of baby food fame was born. But it was actually his wife, Dorothy, that was the genius behind prepared baby food. In 1927, she encouraged her husband to hand strain solid food for her 7-month-old daughter, Sally. After several evenings, Dorothy suggested to her husband that the work could easily be accomplished at the Gerber family's Fremont Canning Company. The rest is history. A year later, in 1928, strained peas, prunes, carrots, spinach, and beef vegetable soup were ready for the national market. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension. On the phone line with us today to look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Now tell me about the good and bad in the area as it relates to anybody who's thought about planting and whether they actually decided to or not.
Well, it seems like about a week and a half ago, the eastern corn belt or eastern half of Illinois got more rain than the west, and so there was a little bit of corn planted early last week in the northwestern part of the state up around Peoria, but then they got the heavy rains Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we kind of lucked out here in the eastern part. So I think we will be able to get some corn planted later this week, but of course the problem is there's rain in the forecast Thursday and Friday, so maybe we can get a day or two in before the next round of rain comes through.
What do you think of the market drop today?
Well, they're obviously looking ahead to the drier forecast, and drier than normal. I try to remind people that normally this time of year we get an inch of rain every week. That's our 50-year average, is 4 inches a month, which is 1 inch a week. So if we are below normal rainfall, we could still get 3/4 of an inch of rain this week, and that would still qualify as below normal precip, but 3/4 of an inch of rain is going to keep a lot of people out of the field for a few days.
Yeah, maybe another day or two after they thought they would get in, I would suppose. Have they been calling based off the drop in the marketplace today for old or new crop reasons?
Well, I think people were disappointed that it dropped as much as they did, but I think really, they understand that we can't prove anything at this point, whether planting in mid to late May is going to really, hurt the yields or not. You would say the odds are a little bit higher that we will have lower yields, but, we can probably get by with lower yields if we do get all the corn planted.
On Friday, I don't think folks were, at least producers were terribly worried, but a few days, now it's Monday, are they beginning to get worried at all?
As far as not getting corn planted?
Yeah.
Well, I think, they're hopeful that, we kind of dodged a little bit of a bullet this last rain that went through with only 1/4 to 1/2 inch of rain. So, I think there's a little bit of optimism that depending on how much we get Thursday, Friday, maybe we get a couple days of corn planting in this week and then hopefully not get too much rain and then get some more planted next week. But it's going to be strung out over the next 2 to 3 weeks. We won't get it all planted right away, that's for sure.
Hey, on near-term or spot demand, what do you see? It looks like there are a lot of plants beginning to shut down for both corn and soybeans.
Yeah, we're finally starting to see a little bit. It's taken forever. I thought we'd see basis levels start picking back up in March and April because of the short crop, and we didn't see that. And, now I said it for May, June, and July, and, I think we're finally starting to see basis levels start to pick up a little bit. So that tells me, A, farmers are, getting out in the field, and the farm movement stopping a little bit, and then B, there really maybe isn't that much corn out there, so people are going to have to pay up for what is left out there.
And see your bids, please.
Okay, our bids today are 678 for old crop corn, 521 new crop corn. Old crop beans are 1454, New beans, $11.86, and new wheat is $6.83.
Thanks much.
Thanks, sir.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on a Monday afternoon to take a look at the closing market report and helps us wrap up this edition. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great and a safe afternoon.